RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Thursday morning, what is up? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Everything's been a little delayed this week for a couple reasons, right? Wednesday is the day we turn the page to the next NFL week, the next week of football. We didn't do that this week for two reasons. One, we're still talking about that Terry McLaurin catch and that Jaden Daniels throw. We're going to be talking about that for a while. We'll talk about that today. Number two is a Monday night game. So, you know, we're a day behind. But now today we turn the page, we turn the corner, smack into a little Cowboys-Giants high-stakes action at the bottom of the NFC East. Just high above on this perch the Commanders are on, we will look down and deign to watch the lesser teams battle to see who will go to 1-3. We'll get you ready for that game in a minute. Of course, lots going on today. We'll break the show and get out to Miami for our Live from Miami show tomorrow. Get you ready for Virginia Tech against Miami. Should be a ton of fun down there. The Hokies and the Canes, long-running Big East rivalry turned into ACC rivalry, turned into just general good football. We'll get you ready for that as well. We'll hear from David Cunningham, Virginia Tech sideline, techsideline.com. Always love a little time with those guys, and we'll get you ready for the matchup with him. Jalen Jones, Virginia Tech safety, TJ Kidd from right here in Richmond, Virginia, the city. The real Richmond. Richmond real, as they say. Jalen Jones drops by the program in a little while as well. So we are looking forward to that. Loaded day. By the way, we're giving away Metallica at Lane Stadium tickets today and tomorrow. So we're fired up for the Hokies. It's Hokies at Miami. How can we make this more special? Obviously, the answer is giving away tickets to see Metallica at Lane Stadium. You'll get your opportunity in exactly 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, we're going to make the call. You call in. If you're the first caller, you will win tickets to see Metallica at Lane Stadium, Enter Sandman, all the good stuff at Lane Stadium. Should be a ton of fun. Looking forward to that. We'll have another set of tickets to give away tomorrow from down in Miami. We'll get to the rest of the NFL. We'll touch on some college stuff. And loved AWOD's show yesterday from the BDC Basketball Development Center over at VCU. Got us fired up. Hoop season is coming. And man, VCU's schedule is going to be a ton of fun this year. We got some big games, some big stretches. You'll hear them all right here on The Fan, of course. I called it my favorite stretch here. Friday night at the Stew, January 24th. They got the Bonnies here, St. Bonaventure, general managed by Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN. Woj is the GM at St. Bonaventure. That's going to be a fun game. Tuesday, January 28th, they're in St. Louis. That's a team that is going to be on the come up this year. They've been brutally mismanaged under Travis Fort. They got money. They got a fertile recruiting ground. They got the desire to be good. And they got a coach from Indiana State who I think is going to make them good pretty quickly. Come back, the next game right after that is the crosstown rivalry, the Henrico versus Richmond Classic. University of Richmond coming to the Stew on Saturday, February 1st. Same day, we've got Hokies versus Hoos on the hardwood as well. So love to get the schedule, love to circle those dates, get everybody ready, fired up for a great basketball season right here on the fan. But more urgently, I mentioned tonight we got ourselves a fun football game, and I was not kidding. We got the Dallas Cowboys taking on the New York Giants. This game, you certainly, we're at the point of the season, week four here. We're wrapping up the quarter pole of the season, where before the season, I would have told you, I love this for the Giants. It's a Thursday nighter, and as you know, this show has a standing policy. We don't play Thursday night games. We don't do it. We don't. The reason we don't give out the picks today is because we don't pick Thursday night games. It's bad business to pick Thursday night games because anything can happen. It's random. You got teams traveling across the country. You got short weeks. You got injury considerations. A lot going on in these Thursday night games. I would have said I like this for the Giants because the worst team in the matchup wants to introduce the most randomness, and they're playing at home. Now, you've got a situation. I do think the Giants are still bad. We'll knock out the Giants first because Brian Daboll, after the game, after they beat Cleveland, he said Daniel Jones has been good for 2 weeks in a row. Now, citing the Washington game where they scored three touchdowns and didn't win, and then their win last week against Cleveland. Those were against two bad teams. I worry this may be a false confident or a fake confident Giants team. I still think Daniel Jones is on his farewell year, is on his way out. Obviously, a win against Dallas would change that narrative in a hurry. I also think for Dallas, there's no overlooking this anymore. They need it. That loss to the Saints at home, then a loss to the Ravens at home, has really set them back. I think they were counting on getting that Saints game. They're 1-2, a team with playoff ambitions that's about to go into the teeth of a tough schedule. Now, I will say this for the Cowboys. They close soft. At the end of the season, they've got a stretch here. Giants, Bengals, Panthers, Buccaneers, and then the final game against the Commanders at home. They close soft, so there's room and there's time. If they lose tonight, I'm sure somebody in Dallas is slapping the must win on this one. It's not going to be me. I think they can bounce back even if they lose this. But you're hoping to catch a team snoozing on the Thursday game. Dallas ain't snoozing. It's not a thing that's going to happen. We love to hear from our guy, Jerry Jones. He spoke on our sister station, The Fan in Dallas. It was on the free Odyssey app. It's also on your radio right now.
WFAA TV this morning had a poll saying who was to blame for the 1-2 start, the players in the field, everything. 70% said that you were the one to blame. Is that fair?
That's very fair. That's very fair. It's well known that no decision is ultimately made there, but what I either have acquiesced or approved it. That's very fair. How could you think otherwise, whether it be who's out there coaching, whether it be who's out there playing, whether it be the stadium you're walking into, whatever it is here, that's the way it is. Now, let me just say this. Do I have a huge amount of input in making those decisions? When they've done their homework, they are very influential input to me. And we've got a lot of people in the Dallas Cowboys that have done their input. And I think I've forgotten what it is. Now, I'm not trying to say this, but if you look at who's won the games over the last 4 or 5 years, Kansas City has, of course, but we're not far right. We're right in that pack. Now, we're in a soft spot. We've got to get out of it.
Jerry,
I accept that completely. I don't know how you could look at it otherwise.
Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys on The Fan in Dallas, our sister station down there. They chat with Jerry every week. He understands, I think. I like Jerry. I think I rag on the Cowboys. I will continue to rag on the Cowboys. Begrudging respect, though, / outright respect for what Jerry has accomplished. And he understands this has been a very good team that right now is 1-2, and there's no reason for panic. And he's happy to take the spotlight, take the heat away from everybody else, which I think is one of his better attributes. I think everybody's, oh, that circus, heck, you play in Dallas, the circus. Jerry is the circus. And I think he takes that away from Dak, from Micah Parsons, from the other players, and puts that on himself very ably and gets in the jab, gets in the know. By the way, we win a lot of football games around here. We've been very, very successful recently. Now, I talk about good organizations win games, not good players. I don't know that you can say the Cowboys have been a good organization, but I think you can say that Jerry knows what he's doing when he pushes buttons, and it's never accidental. And I think this in this case as well, just, hey, 1-2, that's my fault. Don't, you know, put it on me. I can handle it. Now Thursday night football going out to play the Giants in a game that will have a little bit of viewership interest. Neither of these teams can claim the NFC East crown with a win because, as you know, your Week 3 division leaders are the Washington Commanders. The Eagles have a shot at that as well with a win this weekend as well. We'll dive into all the football games as we go along here. Let's hear from Micah Parsons as well. Micah Parsons, of course, understands the ups and downs that come with a football season, and every loss, the sky is falling, and those things multiply.
Start season hasn't been great, but like I said, it's been humbling. You know, this is our test, because without a test, there is no testimony, man. I still have dreams of being a Super Bowl champion. I still have dreams and aspirations of going as far as I can into this year and obviously reaching that Super Bowl.
Without a test, there is no testimony. Somewhere in Clemson, South Carolina, Dabo Sweeney just smacked himself on the forehead and said, why didn't I think of that? That was a Dabo line. I should have thought of that one. He could have used that earlier this year after the Georgia game. But he's got them Tigers rolling. We'll talk a lot of ACC football tomorrow. But Dallas and the Giants, I do think this has tilted a little towards Dallas, whereas a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I would have told you Thursday night, the randomness maybe put a little more credence into a Giants win than you would otherwise. Daniel Jones does not have the history of dominating Dallas. The Dallas defense, I think, is better than this Giants offense. There's no Saquon Barkley, right? How do you beat the Cowboys right now? You run the football. What do the Giants not have? Saquon Barkley. He's in Philly. He's going to run all over the Cowboys twice before this season's over. I don't doubt that at all. I think the matchup really favors the Cowboys tonight in a way that, you know, sometimes Thursday Night Football favors one team. And I said, break the other way. I don't think that's this game. Excited for this one, though. Cowboys-Giants tonight, 8:15. We, of course, continue to air Tech Talk Live right here on Thursday nights. Everything you need to know about the Hokies. We'll give you everything you need to know about the Hokies in a few seconds. David Cunningham, Tech Sideline, joins the program on the other side of this break. But first, the moment you've been waiting for. First caller right now, 833-804-0910, wins two tickets to see Metallica at Lane Stadium next year. Metallica bringing their tour to Lane Stadium next year. We want to get you in to hear Enter Sandman, the home of the Hokies. 833-804-0910. Light up those phone lines. We're back with David Cunningham momentarily. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. We are back, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, your home for the Hokies. Friday nighter down in Miami. Looking forward to that one, of course. One guy who will be there, David Cunningham. He's the managing editor of Tech Sideline, the Virginia Tech news source, TechSideline.com. David, welcome aboard.
I appreciate you having me on, Michael. Thanks for having me aboard. And yeah, it should be I don't know if it'll be win in a Hokies favor, but it should be a very interesting one on Friday night.
You know, everything changed when they came out of the non-conference 2-2. I think a lot of people were hoping for 3-1, 4-0. Maybe this game have a little national juice. And on the other side, I mean, Miami's just been steamrolling people with Cam Ward. What's Tech's mood going into this? You know, this is a chance for a reset going into ACC play, but not an easy one.
Yeah, I think the Hokies' mood is they've got an opportunity to rewrite the script, right? They lost two games they probably should have won. They did not play well against Vanderbilt or Rutgers, but they played well enough in stretches to win the game. It's been a lack of consistency, but I think the mood is this is ACC play now. Some players have said earlier this week it was a clean slate. Others said it wasn't, but no matter how you slice it, you know, this is an opportunity for Virginia Tech to get out on the right foot and start right in ACC play. They've got a really good test in Miami, top 10 team in the country with a guy who could potentially win the Heisman Trophy at quarterback. I mean, this is as juicy of a matchup as you could ask for if you're Virginia Tech. The frustrating part, I think, is that Miami has kind of held up its end of the bargain this year in terms of success. Miami's 4-0. Virginia Tech has not held up its end, but This is an opportunity for the Hokies, I think, to kind of turn some heads a little bit. Nobody's expecting them to come in there and win. I believe Vegas has Tech as a 19-point underdog or 19.5. I mean, Tech has not been more than a 19-point dog in this rivalry since 1992. Ooh. It's been a long time where it's been very lopsided like this. So this is an opportunity, I think, for Virginia Tech to prove people wrong. And, you know, we've seen the inconsistencies, the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. Virginia Tech has an opportunity to kind of show people who it really is, and that is playing consistent football. But we have yet to see it so far this year. This is a talented group, but I think this is kind of one where, you know, if it goes your way, you know, your season is flipped on a dime. If it doesn't, well, then you start asking a lot of questions because you're sitting there at 2-3.
And we know Miami loves slipping on the banana peel, right? So it's not implausible to think that the good things could happen Friday night. Give me the Kyren Drones report. He's been running a lot. He's been effective. He's hit some big throws. He's missed some big throws. Where's he stand here entering conference play?
Yeah, it was interesting talking to Brent Pry on Tuesday. He talked about how Kyren Drones is a harsh critic of himself. Maybe not as much as some players are, but he's definitely hard on himself. And these last couple weeks, especially the Rutgers game, have been a little tough on him. He did miss some throws. He had two deep shots to Daquan Felton, where Felton was wide open, had nobody around, probably had a 5-yard lead, and Drone just overthrew him, just a little too much. But I think this is an opportunity for Drones in a game where he's playing against his cousin. Cam Ward is the Miami quarterback, and they are related. This is an opportunity to kind of prove himself. As much as it is for Virginia Tech to kind of show who it truly is, I think Drones has an opportunity to really put his stamp on this game. And he, like you said, Michael, he's had success running the ball. He's been very good on the ground when he's been able to get going. The problem is he's been so much of a pocket passer that it's really hard, I think, for him to use all of his abilities. He's kind of been stranded in the pocket a little bit. The offensive line has been hit or miss at times. I think this is an opportunity. If it is wet and rainy, which is usually how it is in South Florida, I think Kyren Drones can kind of put this ball on the ground and go to work and play a little sloppy football, albeit one that kind of aligns with his skill set. I think running the ball is crucial in this game. And the more Virginia Tech gets Bashal Tutin going, I think the more it opens up Kyren Drones. But I think his real weapon is his legs and throwing off of rollouts and stuff like that, where the defense really has the chase. I think he's been hit or miss so far this year, kind of like Virginia Tech as a whole. But when he's on, Virginia Tech is a heck of a weapon and a heck of a team to stop. So I think a lot of the game on Friday night kind of revolves around Kyren Drones, as it usually does.
David Cunningham, TechSideline.com. Yeah, I mean, you get tooting rolling, you get that momentum, and you see what it does to teams in the second half, but you got to find a way to get that first half result as well, and that just hasn't been the case this year. Anything the staff's been able to put its finger on, and I know Brent Price talked about, he's changed up the practice schedule. He's changed up the way they've approached it. You know, at a certain point, though, you got to just show up and play.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line. I think Virginia Tech has been a little too late to adjust, if anything. You saw it against Rutgers a little bit. The Scarlet Knights really got going, and it took Virginia Tech almost until halftime to really be able to slow them down. Tech's defense, slow down the Rutgers offense. It doesn't help when you shoot yourself in the foot and make silly mistakes. Jalen Lane, you know, fumbled that punt return on that, which was going to start Tech's second possession against the Scarlet Knights. When you do that, when you give Rutgers good field position at the 31, I mean, you're only hurting yourself. I think minimizing the mistakes is the biggest thing. This is a team that has so much talent, and it just feels like it digs itself in a hole every single game. And I think if Tech can not do that, and turnovers happen, you can minimize them to a certain extent. And if it's rainy weather, that will, you know, be harder to control the ball a little bit. But I think minimizing mistakes is the biggest thing. Fundamentals. There are too many little things that Virginia Tech is doing wrong. And I think that will help Tech start pretty fast if it can kind of, you know, not turn the ball over, minimize penalties, There was a late hit penalty on one of the early Rutgers drives that cost the Hokies 15 yards in that game that eventually led to a touchdown, right? Simple things like that. If you tweak it, if you don't allow it, if you kind of lock in a little bit, I think Brent Pry and his staff have been trying to figure out where it can, if it can kind of lock everything down. And it's tough because it's a little bit like whack-a-mole where it feels like it's something different every single week popping up. But at the same time, I think this is an opportunity where, you know, people aren't expecting you to win. You're kind of playing with house money a little bit. I don't know if Virginia Tech views it like that, but I think a lot of us on the outside, as you know, the Hokies have a big opportunity here. Nobody expects them to win, but this is a team that, you know, Virginia Tech was 4-0 and had played a little bit better football. I mean, Miami's maybe favored by a touchdown, if not a little less. This is a Virginia Tech team that has a lot of talent, and I think starting fast is key, and it's minimizing those mistakes. It's doing the little things right, fundamentals, and not getting behind the chains, honestly. Offensively, I think that's been one of the biggest struggles, is Tech has put itself in too many third and long situations, too many miscues. The play has been, again, a little hit or miss, up and down across the board, but if you can put yourself in good positions and minimize mistakes, you'll be golden, I think, and you'll have an opportunity to win games, even against a number 7 Hurricanes team that hasn't really been challenged a whole lot yet.
I can't disagree with anything you said. The opportunity's there, and the potential to do something is there, and I think the talent's there, which is why we were all so bullish on this team preseason. Before we let you go, David, I'll ask you about the defense too. You know, that defensive line, so highly touted, and we've seen their impact and what they can do. Kelvin Gilliam, APR, yeah, the Aeneas Peebles, all these guys. What do they need to do to make Cam Ward's day a rough one on Friday night?
I think the biggest thing is the coverage in the back end and the pass rush in the front end kind of has to be on the same page. Cam Ward is a type of quarterback who he scrambles around. He has time. He plays behind a really good veteran offensive line, and he can make things happen when you least expect it. He is cool and calm in the pocket. And if you're Virginia Tech, you have to be sound on both ends, in the front and the back, because if Cam Ward rolls out and has a receiver break away from a cornerback, that's all the opportunity he needs. And I think if you're Virginia Tech, you kind of just have to contain everything. You can't let Cam Ward have opportunities to get out and roll out and find open guys. And I think if Virginia Tech's safeties and corners can kind of do their part in locking those guys down or at least staying with them, that gives the defensive line, which has been very good, and Antoine Powell-Ryland leads the nation in sacks with 6, If the Hokies can lock it down a little bit on the back end, and that's a pretty stout group, then I believe this defensive line can make some, you know, disrupt some stuff and get some pressure up front. I mean, that is a unit I think that hasn't really had as many opportunities as you would like this year. So I think that is the biggest key. It's kind of it's not just one part. It's two different parts of the defense doing its job at the same time. I think we've seen it here and there in moments, but not across the board for, you know, 4 quarters or 60 minutes through a game this year.
It's David Cunningham. He'll be down in South Beach. We'll be down in South Beach. Got to see you last week before the ODU game. That was fun. Maybe get to see you at least in the press box up there at Hard Rock. Enjoy Miami, and of course, tell everybody to get to TechSideline.com. You, Andy Bitter, the whole crew always do great work over there. Thanks for making some time for us.
Yeah, appreciate it, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Awesome. There he goes, and there we go. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free. to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And Beyond the Mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM will be live from Miami tomorrow. At this time, getting you ready for Virginia Tech against Miami football. Big game for the Hokies. Thank you to David Cunningham for dropping by, helping us preview that one. Our tech content is by no means done here. Jalen Jones joins the program in about 13 minutes. Safety for the Hokies. Four-year guy. Love a four-year guy, especially in NIL world, especially four-year guy representing TJ in Richmond. Excited to have Jalen Jones on the program. Should be a great segment catching up with him. That'll be a lot of fun. I mean, just the UNLV story still picking up steam, where the kids said they promised him $100,000, which is not unreasonable for a quarterback. And apparently the school, as a last-ditch effort, offered $12,000 in installments. Not $12,000 installments, but a total of $12,000, but we don't have it all right now. There's a lot to unravel there, and a lot we will unravel in the coming days. Right now, though, I want to dive back into Commanders land. Obviously been a great week out there. After the Terry McLaurin catch, they're down soaking up the sun in Arizona. I want to revisit a few key plays, few moments, talk about a few players, because I've been talking about the Terry catch a lot. Guilty guilty as charged. What a throw by Jaden Daniels. What a catch by Terry McLaurin in that moment. This is basically a show this week is Jaden to Terry Appreciation Week, and Jaden is your NFC Player of the Week for the first time the Commanders have had an NFC Player of the Week since Adrian Peterson 6 years ago. Yeah, they've been wandering through the wilderness a little bit, but there's signs of hope. There's signs of life. Certainly love to see that. Let's start with this. Let's start with the worst moment of the game, which was also one of the first moments of the game.
A snap and a play action. He'll throw on first down. Pressure up the middle. Gets one off. Looking deep for Ja'Marr Chase. And catches him in stride for a 41-yard Bengals touchdown.
Because the Bengals got the ball first, so that was 7-0. And I do think you have to put a lot of stock into how important it was that Washington scored on that very next drive, right? Answered back, because if they don't, if that's a punt, the Bengals potentially go up 14-0. I think we're looking at a very different dynamic, very different ball game. The margin for error in this game was truly zero for the offense, and a lot of that is the defense. And look, I will say this. I think the defensive line took a baby step forward. I'm not going to give them like a big step forward. They gave up 33 and a missed field goal to the Bengals. But a baby step forward. I don't think the secondary took any steps forward. And that's concerning this week. Going into a game in Arizona, Marvin Harrison Jr., very good wide receiver. Certainly wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes off this weekend. And you want to see improvement. You want to see, you know, week to week getting better, or at least doing something. It's not going to be fixed until 25 in the secondary. And so, you know, Jaden Daniels is still going to carry that burden the rest of the way. We had Craig Hoffman on yesterday. He said that, right? I can't change my predictions for this team to say playoffs because this defense is still going to hold them back. Javonte Jean-Baptiste filled in for Cleveland Farrell up front. I think he was part of the reason for the baby step forward. He talked with the radio crew. You heard it right here on 910 The Fan after the game. It's a weird interview here, right? Where it's like, hey, you did some good things, but we're grading you on an enormous curve. We've lowered the bar so far, and you were able to bonk into it today. Congratulations. That is That is the tone here. But here's the radio crew, Bram Weinstein and not London Fletcher. He was out this week after a family tragedy in his family, unfortunately. But Logan Paulson was filling in for London Fletcher. Here's Bram and Logan after the game.
We've got Jean-Baptiste hanging out here.
Yep. So, you know, Jaden's getting all the flowers tonight. The offense getting the flowers. Defense had a really interesting challenge ahead of them tonight. How did you guys feel like you handled Joe Burrow in that offense this evening?
I mean, going up against an offense like that, they can cause issues for people. As a defense, you just got to think about attacking and playing that play you're in and the next play and the next play and then see where you end up at.
You got your first career sack tonight. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, so can you walk us through that play? Obviously, they're pulling the guard there. You have a two-way go against the guy you might have played against in college. You play against Demaryius Mims in college at all?
He went to Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Probably in 2020, what, one we lost to them?
Yeah.
Was at Ohio State, probably.
Yeah. And so what was that like getting the first sack, and how did you know to take the inside move there?
Man, it was just a little.
Just let it play, huh?
Yeah. I just took it. Just took my shot at it, and it worked. So I'm glad that happened.
So are we, man. So we're also glad that happened.
We're glad a lot of things happened tonight. What did you learn about this team tonight? I mean, there's so much resilience.
It's resiliency, just hard work, determination, and effort. You know, we teach toughness, and that's what we show.
Javonte, thank you so much. Congratulations on the win tonight.
Yeah, you heard what I heard there. You know, hey, it's a win, so we get to celebrate. We understand, though, it wasn't good enough, and we got to go back to the drawing board. And on a short week and against an opponent, Kyler Murray's rolling right now, and he's got a really good receiver down there in Arizona. Going to be a tough ball game for these guys. All right, let's fast forward ahead here, and look, let's keep talking about the defense. Let's do one more on the defense before we switch to the offense.
The Bengals don't have to snap the ball before the end of the quarter, and Joe Burrow does. Quick swing out to the right side. Oh, yeah, hit. Just a huge hit. Mike Sanders still on Chase Brown. Incomplete pass. He jumped that route and clocked
this
Brown as the ball got there.
The end of the first quarter.
Big hit by Mike Sanristel. You know I loved him coming out of Michigan. I thought he was a great player in training camp. He's been quiet the first few weeks, right? You think about Jaden Daniels jumping right in, making an impact. Mike Sanristel really hasn't been able to do that yet. Good to see him get a hit, show his physicality, make a big play. Get on the stat sheet, get on TV. Those things will only benefit him going forward. But between him and, you know, up front, you've got a lot of new players, right? There's a lot of new players on this defense. That's probably what you're hanging your hat on if you say they can get better. Johnny Newton, we have not seen the best of Johnny Newton yet. I don't think we've seen the best of Sanristel either. Those are things the Commanders need to go their way here over the next 5 to 10 weeks if they're going to turn the corner defensively. And it's tough. Sometimes rookies don't blossom until year two or year three. We've seen that a lot as well. I was thinking about Morgan Moses, Big Mo. He's still playing in the NFL. That's a guy who was not good his rookie year. You come back year two, you come around on the game, you make the leap, your timing gets better. I think that's Mike Sanristel at this point, although we've seen week-to-week improvement. He's certainly not incapable of that. Let's fast forward here, do a couple offensive plays, because here's another rookie. I want to talk about the rookies a little bit today, and this is one people have been keeping their eye on.
Fourth and two at the 32. Luke McCaffrey looked a little confused, left the huddle early, then came back, got instructions. B-Rob to the right of Daniels. Three wide receivers to the left on a fourth and two at the Bengals 32. Snap to Daniels. Bengals break four. He throws over the middle. It's a strike. It is caught by McCaffrey inside the five and out of bounds near the pylon. What a strike from Daniels to McCaffrey.
Luke McCaffrey. We haven't done the Luke yet. Maybe he'll get a chance in the next home game. Luke McCaffrey, great catch there. Again, nice to see him get on TV. Nice to see him out there. Now, I don't think there's a lot of snaps for Luke McCaffrey going forward. I think that's a big thing here you got to keep in mind as we talk about him. I just don't think there's a lot of snaps available for him, period. Because they're using a lot of two tight end. They used a lot of two running back the other day as well. Those are the more important things because they give Jaden the time he needs. They allow you to make up for this offensive line a little bit. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. Before we wrap up this segment, I think this may have been the second biggest play of the game.
21-13, kicked what they call like a dirty ball, bounces to the 10, picked up on one hop by Austin Eckler, cuts back at the 20, there's the seam, 25-30, 35-40, 45, cuts back to the left, into the teeth of the defense, he's able to get all the way down to the Cincinnati 32!
That started the second half, a big play among many for Austin Eckler, a fantastic showing by him, but getting that momentum at the start of the second half was so, so big for this offense. We'll get you ready for Commanders Cardinals. You'll hear it right here, 4 o'clock on Sunday. We'll do that tomorrow in our Live from Miami show. Sneak it in among a little tech talk. We're back with more after this. On the other side is a little hokey talk. We welcome in safety Jalen Jones right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. You are less than an hour away from AWOD Radio. He'll be live from the studio today. Great show yesterday. If you missed it, grab it on the free Odyssey app or on his podcast, AWOD Radio, on social media. He was down at the VCU Basketball Development Center. I'm fired up. I know you're fired up. We're all fired up for VCU basketball this year, and great show with Fats Phillips joining the program. Always love AWOD on VCU. I love AWOD on the Commanders. He's a big fan. He knows his stuff. Always love cross-talking with him during football season. But I think VCU basketball, that's the wheelhouse. Because I get so much Commanders news everywhere. I think for a while it was proportionate. Hazel and I were talking about this the other day, just how big the Commanders were, how big the Redskins were when they were big. And everybody in town covered them wall-to-wall. And it was commensurate with their popularity. They're probably over-covered a touch now relative to the number of you that live and die with them. There's a lot of places I can go to get a Commander's take. I think VCU is still brutally undercovered in terms of the amount of interest there is versus the amount of coverage there is. And I'm super happy. We're part of the solution, not part of the problem here at 910 The Fan. And I look forward to having some great VCU segments as we roll into the season here. But I feel like, especially this year, not just VCU, A-10's going to be so good this year. Top five, top six. I think St. Louis is going to be a ton of fun. You add them into the mix. Obviously, Dayton, of course, every year. The Bonnies every year. VCU every year. And I think St. Joe's going to be pretty dang good, too. And, we'll see. We'll see what everybody else brings to the table. I know those UR games are never easy, and there's some folks out there in Henrico screaming at the radios right now, what about us? Y'all proved it last year, right? Pick to finish 11th, get a share of the regular season title. That's all I need to see. That's Chris Mooney. He adapts. He grows. He learns. He's a great coach. Y'all are lucky to have him. Be fun to watch the Spiders progress throughout this season, too. Did you miss a part of the show where we gave away tickets to Metallica at Lane Stadium? Okay, here's the good news. We're going to do it again tomorrow. Metallica tickets at Lane Stadium. We're giving away a pair tomorrow when we're live from Miami, ahead of Virginia Tech against Miami. I could not be more fired up for this. I have not talked myself into a win. I enjoyed both of our Tech interviews in hour number one, though. We had David Cunningham on of Tech Sideline. He knows his stuff. He watches them all the time, obviously. He said, right, like, hey, they're big dogs, big underdogs, and they probably shouldn't be. And I agree with that assessment. I think start of the season, if you had asked me what the line's going to be in that game tomorrow night, I would have told you Canes by 7, which is in the margin of error, right? If somebody wins as a 7-point underdog, nobody's losing their mind. What is a 7-point underdog? Nah, those things happen all the time in football. Or at least some of the time, with regularity, certainly in college football. 19, 18-point underdogs, though, that tells me things went very different directions. The question is, do we have to rethink who this Tech team is, and to an extent who Miami is, or have they just not been playing to the potential of who we think they are, right? Okay, you catch a difference there, and you can grab that interview, of course, on the Odyssey app, hit the rewind button, or grab the MP on the Mic podcast. Jalen Jones joined us as well in hour number one. He's a safety from TJ, a local kid here. Loved having Jalen on the program. He said the message I think you're going to hear a lot of, everything we want is still in front of us. That's the motto, and it's true, right? Reset the clock, reset the page in the ACC schedule. If they lay an egg tonight, though, I think the Monday story is, okay, maybe we overrated the experience factor, and wouldn't be the first time that's happened, right? Because there's cohesion, they'll be good. Because they returned everybody, they'll be good. Maybe we revisit just how strong of a schedule that was down the stretch last year, and maybe we revisit just how impressive that finish was last year. And I think we visit the coaching and say, this is a coaching staff that put its eggs in this basket. Is it returning results? I hope those aren't the discussions we're having. I certainly hope we're talking about a big upset win or a moral victory Monday, right? Wouldn't be opposed to a moral victory Monday with a narrow loss either. So there's a lot of excitement there, a lot of excitement here, obviously, around giving away Metallica tickets tomorrow, Lane Stadium, live from Miami. Gary Hess, Parney, all our Friday friends join the program. Looks like high school football is on as of right now for Friday night. Obviously, check the weather, check with your local authorities, check with Gary and Gary wherever you see them or hear them. Gary's everywhere around here. He's not hard to miss on the radio. He's given the updates. He's given the news. He'll let us know when there is news to know. All right, this is the mandatory baseball segment. Y'all know we do baseball around here. This is a season I was going to fall in love with baseball again. It's a great season to pick, by the way. Baseball's been fantastic. I said we're playing one clip in this segment. One clip. Look, the Orioles won. They beat the Yankees. I don't know that it means anything, but it's fun. I don't know that it got them anywhere, but it's fun. I enjoy teams beating the Yankees more than I enjoy teams losing to the Yankees, especially when that team is the Baltimore Orioles, who they're not my team, but I have an affinity for them, right? I'm a Royals guy. I'm from Kansas. I ride with the Nats in the NL. I worked for them for a year, you know, so I'll always have that, you know, those fond feelings there. I'm a Royals guy, but I've always had a respect and an affinity for the Orioles. Love Camden Yards, of course. Going back, Cal Ripken. Of course, who didn't love Cal Ripken and some of those great teams? I've loved the young talent that's rolled through there, too. All of which is to say, we're not playing clips from the Orioles beating the Yankees yesterday. Padres-Dodgers. The Dodgers got back on track yesterday. That's a big result for the Dodgers. We're not playing that clip. We're playing one clip, and I was watching the score last night, and I was following this last night on the MLB TV. The Chicago White Sox, at home, going for history against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. 3-3 after nine innings. The White Sox, at home, 120 losses. Would it be a major league record? 121.
Runner at second, one out, 3-3 in the 10th. The 2-0 to Benintendi. There's a base hit. Left center. Here comes Vargas around third, and the White Sox win.
I got the announcer off guard. I don't think that was the call he was ready for. The White Sox win. Oh, wow. Can they do that? Are they allowed to do that? All right, one more day. We got to wait one more day. Awad, sorry, I'm watching this afternoon. White Sox and the Angels, one more chance at home. Look, this record's going to fall. I think everybody understands that because over the weekend, the White Sox go to Detroit starting tomorrow. They're playing against the Tigers. And by the way, the Tigers are right in the thick of the wild card race there. They're going to have to win to clinch their playoff spot. They're going to get 1-3 against the White Sox. But today, one more chance to do it at home. 2:10 first pitch, the White Sox and the Angels as they go for 121 wins, the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball. The biggest baseball story yesterday had nothing to do with what was happening on the field. In fact, it was a game that wasn't played and another game that isn't going to be played today. Here's what's going on. The Mets and the Braves are in a fight for playoff spot, the wild card playoff spot And they are playing each other this week. We were fired up for that series, of course. Remain fired up for that series. The Mets called the Braves, allegedly, this is as reported by the New York Daily News. I don't believe they've ever led me astray before. The New York Mets called the Atlanta Braves, said, here's the situation. We see it's going to rain all week long. Can we reschedule this these games? Can we play a doubleheader when we get there Tuesday? Can we play earlier on Wednesday? The Braves said no, according to the New York Daily News. The Mets asked Major League Baseball to intervene, said, hey, it's going to rain. We're not going to get these games in. MLB said it's up to the Braves. They can make the decision. Well, what do you know? It started raining yesterday in Atlanta, 16 inches in the forecast between yesterday and today. So yesterday's Mets-Braves game and today's Mets-Braves game are both bagged. They're not happening. So here's the situation. The Mets have the playoff spot right now by one game over the Atlanta Braves. We're going to get to Sunday. Sunday's the last day of the baseball season. Playoffs start Tuesday. Sunday's the last day of the season. If the games don't matter, if the Mets or the Braves have a 2.5 game lead, at least on the other team, then they just won't play those games. If it's within a game, the Mets and the Braves have to go to Atlanta on Monday, play a doubleheader to determine who gets the playoff spot, because it's two games that got bagged, doubleheader for the playoff spot, and then they will have to probably take off to San Diego to play their first playoff game the next day. So you think about that. You can't even rest your pitchers on Monday, because if you don't win Monday, you're not getting to Tuesday. You got Sunday, you got to wrap up the season. Monday, you got to play a doubleheader with the playoffs on the line. Then potentially Tuesday, a trip to San Diego or the Dodgers, probably San Diego, to start the wild card series. That is a disadvantage, folks. The Braves host the Royals this weekend. The Royals very much in the thick of their playoff chase right now. They're hanging on to their wild card by two games. So that's a heck of a series if they play baseball down there in Atlanta this weekend. The Mets play the Brewers. Now, the Brewers are locked in. They're good. They've got their spot locked up in the playoffs, and they can't get the bye. They can't catch the Phillies or the Dodgers. Either way, exciting baseball, a little drama off the field at Mets-Braves rivalry flaring up. We love to see it. Football tonight as well. We'll get you ready for that. We'll crosstalk with AWOD from the airport. Could be fun. Could be an adventure. We'll see. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.